Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Steve Norman reporting. Officials in Washington and Moscow have expressed a desire to extend their week-old ceasefire pact for Syria. Confirmed aid deliveries have not been made, but agreed on little else concerning the situation in Syria. Supply trucks are idling at a special customs checkpoint at the Turkish border. Jens Ilerki is a spokesperson for the UN Humanitarian Office.
We know that there's at least 250,000 people in eastern Aleppo who are potentially all of them in need of some kind of aid. The first 40 trucks are loaded with food for some 80,000 people for a month. We really, really want to get it to eastern Aleppo. So as I say, it's highly frustrating. We know the world is watching.
Meanwhile, in New York, the UN Security Council canceled a meeting on Syria that was scheduled for late on Friday. Cancellation came at the request of the U.S. and Russia. U.S. military says coalition forces killed one of the Islamic State's most senior leaders in a precision strike. Wail Adel Salman al-Fayed, IS's so-called Minister of Information, was targeted and killed by an airstrike on September the 7th. Fayed was targeted in Araqqa, Syria, the terror group's self-proclaimed capital. Witnesses are saying Al-Shabaab militants have captured a key Somali town near the border with Kenya. Residents in a walk told VOA Somali service that heavily armed Shabaab fighters attacked the area from two directions and are now in control of it. Witnesses saying at least four people were caught in crossfire near a military base and were killed. The Shabaab force consisted of about 200 fighters with a dozen battle wagons. This is VOA News. UNICEF is saying that tens of thousands of children in Nigeria could die in the coming months from severe acute malnutrition. Warning from the UN Children's Fund comes as aid workers start to gain access to the northeast of the country after government forces push back Boko Haram insurgents. Speaking from the Nigerian capital, Abuja, UNICEF's Ariane Dabak said that children are literally on the brink of death and that the agency needs funds to identify the most vulnerable youngsters in three states, Borno, Jobe, and Adamawa.
We're going from house to house, from hut to hut, from shelter to shelter. And those children that are severely malnourished, that is, children get treatment. With our program, we can reduce mortality to less than 1%. So it's a very, very high-impact intervention. It's just that we need to find these kids before it is too late. We need to reach them before it is too late.
UNICEF estimates that 400,000 children are at risk in the three states in Nigeria, while a total of 4.4 million people are in need of urgent humanitarian assistance there. Ongoing security concerns have prevented the agency from reaching all of those in need, including 2 million people in Borno State alone. Turning now to U.S. politics, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump has ended 5 years of uncertainty over his views by declaring that President Obama was born in the United States. That story now from VOA's Wayne Lee.
In 2011, the Republican nominee was a force behind a movement arguing that Obama was born abroad. Since then, he has refused to directly say what he believes until he ended the ambiguity on Friday. A day earlier, Trump's campaign said that he does believe Obama was born in the U.S. state of Hawaii. In a campaign appearance Friday, Trump blamed Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton for starting the controversy. Clinton, also in Washington Friday, dismissed Trump's efforts to raise questions about the president's birthplace. Speaking before the Black Women's Agenda Symposium, Clinton said Trump has led the birther movement for 5 years to delegitimize America's first black president and that Trump's campaign was founded on what she called an outrageous lie. Wayne Lee, VOA News, Washington.
Famed American playwright Edward Albee has died at the age of 88. Albee was proclaimed the playwright of his generation after his play, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, opened on Broadway in 1962. The Tony-winning play, still widely considered Albee's finest, was made into an award-winning 1966 film starring Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton. Get more news by going to our website. You can find us at voanews.com. And don't forget about the VOA mobile app.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
Hello again and welcome to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA 1. This is Russ Davis, and most of the time here on the program, we salute great musicians. On this edition of the program, we'll take a little different direction as we salute an NEA jazz master who was an engineer. The engineer in question is an NEA jazz master, but not a musician, though the musicians and producers and record label executives depended on him to make some of the most famous recordings in all of jazz history sound pristine in quality. And Rudy Van Gelder, who passed away in late August at the age of 91, did just that, from the 1950s to the year 2011, when he released the last work that he would be part of. Rudy Van Gelder was from the state of New Jersey, and though never a musician, he just had a sense of what musicians wanted when he recorded their work. He never was a producer. He never hired the musicians. He simply stood behind the controls, set up the microphones, made sure everything was just right, and let the musicians make their magic on some of the most famous recordings of all time, like Miles Davis and his quintet with Walkin', Maiden Voyage by Herbie Hancock, Saxophone Colossus from Sonny Rollins, Horace Silver's Song for My Father, the great John Coltrane's A Love Supreme, and so many others. I'll give you much of that music here on Jazz America. And Rudy Van Gelder stayed close to home, literally, in all the years of his work. He set up his first studio at his parents' home as an extra room in Hackensack, New Jersey, and then created his own studio at his home in Inglewood, New Jersey, just west of New York City. So his location was perfect for those New York-based musicians to come right over the river and record their great works. Here's a song that's most appropriate to begin this set of VOA's Jazz America. In 1954, he recorded the album simply titled Monk. It was Thelonious Monk. And here's homage to the place he recorded this work. The song is Hackensack.
There's a footprint that you're leaving on the sands of time today, and I hope the tide that washes clean don't take it all away. There's an imprint that you're leaving on this place we call the earth, and I hope the life you live each day is really all you're worth. Give it time, give it everything you got, though you may not have a lot, just give it time. Give yourself a chance to grow. Once you've made it, you will know. So give it time. If your life is happy now, then you can make it better still. If you think you're just surviving, see the way you'll find the will. Do the things you have to do to get to where you have to go. If you plant a seed of truth and love, a tree of life will grow. Give it time. Give it everything you've got, though you may not have a lot. Just give it time. Give it time. Give yourself a chance to grow. Once you've made it, you will know. So give it time. Why be one of the crowd? You could be so much more. Why not shout? Is clean, don't take it all away. There's an imprint that you're leaving on this place we call the earth, and I hope the life you live each day is really all you're worth. Give it time, give it everything you got, though you may not have a lot, just give it time. Give it time, give yourself a chance to grow. Wait a minute, you're gonna know, so give it time.
Most of the sessions that Rudy Van Gelder was behind the equipment for were instrumentalists, but he did record some famous vocalists in jazz as well, and one of them, the award-winning Patti Austin, with a cut from her album Look to the Rainbow called Give It Time. Now, let's turn to some conversations I enjoyed with the late, great, legendary Horace Silver, who worked with Rudy Van Gelder a number of times on some of his most famous works and most famous songs, including the jazz classic Song for My Father, which you'll hear after we speak with Horace Silver. He told me how some of his songs came to him in his dreams. And after he realized those dreams, his dream of recording it at the highest quality was left in the hands of Rudy Van Gelder.
This is Horace Silver, and you're listening to Jazz America with Russ Davis on The Voice of America.
Horace, in just 15 minutes or so, how in the world can I start a conversation with you? I'll start it this way. Congratulations on the release of another wonderful work filled with your compositions. You are the most prolific composer. No one has been more prolific as a composer in the history of jazz than you. To this day, from the very beginning of your career, writing this incredible body of work. Has it always been easy for you to compose? It seems like it has. It has to have been easy.
Well, primarily, yeah. There are times, there has been, and there still are times when I feel that I've run out of ideas, you know. But all of a sudden, it starts up again. You know, it's like a fire that's burning, and it's kindled for a while, you know, and you say, well, Jesus, I can't get no good ideas, and I can't get started here. And then all of a sudden, something fans the flame, and it starts to flame up again, and you get all kinds of ideas, you know.
Well, these young players that are looking up to you, they're going to be upset to hear that, because they just feel like, I'm sure, that this guy is a fountain. It never stops for him.
Sometimes, you know, I'm writing 5 and 6 tunes in a week or something, or in a couple of weeks, you know, I'm doing a lot. And then I get a dry spell, you know, and nothing happens, you know, and then something else happens. But a lot of my music that I get comes through my dreams. I feel it's given to me, you know. Some of the music I get that I write, I sit down at the piano and I ponder over the piano and try to look up on something, and sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But a lot of it, I would say 80% of it, comes through dreams. I wake up in the morning with melodies in my head.
of the most famous songs in all of jazz history, and maybe Horace Silver's most popular song ever, Song for My Father, the title cut from his 1965 album, recorded at Rudy Van Gelder's studio in Hackensack, New Jersey. Here is one of those debut albums which Rudy Van Gelder worked on to help a young musician who would later become a legend. Kenny Burrell, the great guitarist, from his debut album from the mid-1950s, the album introducing Kenny Burrell, and here's Kenny's song Cheetah on Jazz America from VOA 1. Another of the great sessions, engineered by the late, great Rudy Van Gelder, the giant behind the scenes, I call him. We're saluting him as he passed away late in August in this year, and at the age of 91, left an incredible musical legacy of recordings that are some of the most famous in all of jazz history. Well, we're going to hear a recording that was not engineered by Rudy Van Gelder. He was a studio guy, and what you're about to hear is a famous live recording by request. But first,
I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address. jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's jazzamerica, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. jazzamerica@voanews.com. And on the program recently, I mentioned that my birthday was the 10th of September. Well, I received this message from Richard Idom from Accra, Ghana, and he wrote the following. Hi, Russ Davis. Thanks for the great job that you are doing. I would like a birthday request for Mr. Ralph Quist. His birthday is the 7th of December, and also for our nice Francisca Penny, all of Accra, Ghana. She is also a September 7 birthday. Russ, mine is the 3rd of September. Another September born is Lady Julia of 34 Dalmore Road in the UK. Please play us Mercy, Mercy, Mercy by Cannonball Adderley. And thank you, Richard Idom from Accra, Ghana. Richard, it is my great pleasure to play this song for you, all your friends and loved ones having September birthdays. For myself, I'll accept it too, and for everyone who's enjoying a birthday in the month of September. Cannonball Adderley's classic live recording, the song written by Joe Zawinul with Mr. Zawinul on the keyboards. Mercy, Mercy, Mercy on Jazz America.
You know, sometimes we're not prepared for adversity. When it happens, sometimes we're caught short. We don't know exactly how to handle it when it comes up. Sometimes we don't know just what to do when adversity takes over. And I have advice for all of us. I got it from our pianist, Joe Zawinul, who wrote this tune. And it sounds like what you're supposed to say when you have that kind of problem. It's called Mercy, Mercy, Mercy.
Thank you. when I tell you I'll never do you no harm. If you leave me, I'll never make it alone. Believe me when I tell you, don't ever leave me alone. When you told me didn't need me anymore, you know I nearly broke down and cried. When you told me you didn't need me anymore, I nearly broke down and died. Yeah, oh darling, if you leave me I'll never make it alone. Believe me when I tell you, I'll never do you no harm.
With instrumentalists, he worked with great singers, and in the case of George Benson from The Other Side of Abbey Road, his groundbreaking album that included songs by the Beatles, of course, that is Rudy Van Gelder behind the controls for George Benson doing the classic song Oh Darlin', great instrumentalist and vocalist at the same time. Well, he made those great artists even greater with the sound of their recordings for labels like Blue Note Records, Prestige, CTI, and independent recordings, too, from various artists. Rudy Van Gelder and his studio in Englewood Hills, New Jersey, and also in Hackensack, his two famous studio locations. Many people darkened those doors and made history. Among them, the great artists of the bebop era from the 1950s and the artists of what became known as the jazz fusion era, where the music, instead of swinging, grooved. And that was the topic of conversation. Groove music and groove jazz from one of the masters of that style, Grover Washington Jr., the late great saxophonist who worked with Rudy Van Gelder. Here's my last conversation ever with Grover, followed by one of his most famous songs, engineered by Rudy Van Gelder, Trouble Man, from the album Soul Box.
I want to talk to you about something that's been a feature of your music all down through the years, and that is groove music. The title cut, Next Exit is a perfect example of a groove. It's right there. All parts are like a machine, all pistons moving together, and there's all the things going on top of it that are jazz. A lot of traditional jazzers have said that, you know, groove is not really jazz as far as they're concerned. Some thoughts about that statement, if you will.
Well, I think they ought to go back like to the 30s and 40s, like when you had big bands playing grooves and people going to dance to big bands. You know, we're just trying to get back into that, you know, come really full circle, like in the music. And it is a tribute, like, to the folks that came a few years before us, and hopefully we'll be able to set a standard, like, for the younger musicians coming up. Thank you.
Van Gelder engineered so many famous recordings, and a number of those recordings were led by the great saxophonist Grover Washington Jr. from Soul Box. His version of the Marvin Gaye classic Trouble Man, just one of the many songs that Rudy Van Gelder, dead at the age of 91 in late August, NEA Jazz Master in 2009, engineered over the years. And here's another. In 1961, into the Inglewood Cliffs, New Jersey studio strode Oliver Nelson with Eric Dolphy, Freddie Hubbard, Bill Evans, Paul Chambers, and Roy Haynes to record Blues and the Abstract Truth. And from that, here's Stolen Moments on Jazz America from VOA1.
Thank you.
Another classic Rudy Van Gelder production, Stolen Moments from Oliver Nelson. More of the work of the giant behind the scenes next hour. Stay tuned, won't you?